Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Friday, February 25th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page XV, the preface, and we're reading the third paragraph, which begins with the spark that was to flare and ending four paragraphs, reading four paragraphs ending with belief and dependence on God. Today's readers are Sherry Z for the 12 steps, Carol F for the 12 traditions, Leslie W will be our first reader, Robin P and Jordan L is our backup. Thank you for your service today and this month. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, February 24th, 2022 is 18594. That's 18,594. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Friday, February 25th is 18601. That's 18,601 for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everybody who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating and food behaviors can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sherry Z to please read the 12 steps.
I'm Sherry Z from Southern California. Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service. And these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z. I'll now ask Carol F. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Elaine, and everyone on the line. This is Carol F., compulsive overeater, food addict in recovery from Maryland. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous. except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Carol F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Using the star 1 function on your phone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are continuing in the preface, and we are on page XV, and we're reading the forward to the second edition, starting with the last paragraph on page XV, and we're going to read through four paragraphs today, and I'm going to have ask Leslie W. to please read and comment for us.
Thanks, Elaine. This is Leslie W., recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. The spark that was the flare into the first AA group was struck at Akron, Ohio in June 1935, during a talk between a New York stockbroker and an Akron physician. 6 months earlier, the broker had been relieved of his drink obsession by a sudden spiritual experience following a meeting with an alcoholic friend who had been in contact with the Oxford groups of that day. He had also been greatly helped by the late Dr. William D. Silkworth, a New York specialist in alcoholism who is now accounted no less than a medical saint by AA members, and whose story of the early days of our society appears in the next pages. From this doctor, the broker had learned the grave nature of alcoholism. Though he could not accept all the tenets of the Oxford groups, he was convinced of the need for moral inventory, confession of personality defects, restitution to those harmed, helpfulness to others, and the necessity of belief in and dependence upon God. Okay, so we're talking about Bill and Dr. Bob here, I believe. So Bill is the stockbroker and Dr. Bob is the physician. And so, you know, I don't know a lot of history like other people do, but what I can say here is that I like the way that it outlines the simplicity of the program. We all need to take moral inventory. So it's saying that regardless of whatever we believe, regardless of what we believe, whether you are Buddhist, Jewish, Christian, whatever you are, it doesn't matter what you believe. You're all going to, well, all of us are going to need to complete these steps in order to be free from our compulsion of overeating. So here it talks about the need for moral inventory. Fourth and fifth step, confession of personality defects. Your 6 and 7. Restitution to those harmed, 8 and 9. Helpfulness to others. I think of that as a step 12. And the necessity of belief in and dependence upon God. And for me, the necessity of belief in and dependence upon God covers steps 1 through 3 and 10 and 11. We can't fix a problem that we don't know we have. And I think that in the early days of OA for me, I didn't understand the need to work these steps because I didn't understand the grave nature of my disease. Because there was so much misinformation, and there is a lot of misinformation out there. There's people who are heavy eaters, mild to moderate eaters. But I am not the mild to moderate or heavy eater. I am a compulsive overeater, which means that I have the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body. I have those two things. And if I have those two things, then the only way for me to be free is to work these steps. And so I will not work these steps if I do not understand the severity of my disease, if I think that this is simply a small little food problem that I can just will myself from and push myself away from the table. Though these kinds of gimmicks, the mindful eating, these kinds of things are not going to work for me. And so I have to be very careful about who I talk to about my disease. I only want to talk to people who really understand other recovered individuals who know what the problem is and who have worked through these steps and gotten to the other side and can present me with a solution that will work for me. A complete spiritual transformation. This is a complete reboot. My computer has to be turned off and then turned on again. I can't slap a Band-Aid on it. I have to completely shut down and then be rebuilt by God. And that's what these steps allow me to do. And that's all I want to share. Thanks.
Thank you very, very much, Leslie W. Fabulous share. Okay, so we're commenting on, and I'm making a correction to what I announced earlier. I'm so sorry. We're commenting on the third paragraph at the bottom of page XV, the preface to the second edition, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. The spark that was to flare and ending with dependence on God. So thank you very, very much for your opening, Leslie W. And if you would like to comment on this, we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to, please press star one to unmute and let me know.
This is Cynthia C.
H.
I heard Cynthia C. and H.
Freya H.
Susan. And Susan.
Okay.
S-H.
Donna B.
Okay. And Donna B.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Roz G.
Roz G. That's a great lineup. Let's go with that. Cynthia C. Freya H., Susan S. H., Donna B., Deborah G., and Roz G. Fabulous. So, Cynthia, please share with us, and Freya H., you will follow her.
Thank you so much. This is Cynthia C., recovered compulsive overeater and food addict in Newton, Massachusetts. Wow. I'm so grateful that we're reading this paragraph. Thank you for, you know, the person who shared her experience, strength, and hope. This is just really great for me to hear. The grave nature of alcoholism, you know, the need for moral inventory, confession of personality defects, restitution to those harms, helpfulness to others, and the necessity of belief in and dependence upon God. Just what I really needed to hear, that sudden spiritual experience. Just, I really, really needed to hear this. So I'm close to 5 years in recovery come the spring, and yet I'm still human, and my disease is just as strong as I work the program. And I almost always work a very strong program, and I spend a lot of time working my 11th step each day. I'm living in steps 10, 11, and 12. I do a strong 10th step, and I sponsor and try to be of service. But, you know, I'm human, and my disease is, I think, is so strong. My disease is as strong as the time I put into recovery. And I've been traveling a lot lately, and we were in New York City, where there's a lot of kosher restaurants, and we keep kosher. And I was taking my daughter out on a mother-daughter trip and in the city, which was fabulous. We live in Boston, and, you know, I let her choose the restaurant. And, you know, she chose some restaurants that were harder for me for my absence. They were just harder. They were harder. And I think I wanted to be like everyone else, and I wanted to say, fine, I can eat in all of these restaurants. And I was okay. I mean, I was okay, but I could tell that, like, there's still that part of me, that diseased part of me, that wants to be able to eat like everyone else. And so I think I, you know, a bit pushed the boundaries of my food plan and pushed the boundaries of it in a way that made me, I realized, uncomfortable, but I didn't want to acknowledge it when I was there, because I was so caught up in wanting to make my daughter happy, because she had done some really huge things for the family, and I wanted this to be a thank you trip. We just got back late last night, and this is the reminder, the grave nature of alcoholism, because I have heard many, many, many people who have had long-term recovery in these rooms and who have found themselves in relapse. And this is the reminder, I don't need to go there. I don't need to go into relapse. You know, I don't need to go there. I don't need to go there. I cannot eat like everyone else. I cannot eat like everyone else. And, you know, I'm grateful to be able to get on the meeting this morning. I'm grateful that this is a shared experience, that I don't do this on my own, because on my own, I think too much and my head takes me to scary places. I'm grateful that I have... Thank you. Grateful that I have a sponsor to be honest with and to work through this, and grateful that I don't have to lose everything in order to get to the same place. Thank you. Grateful to be here today.
Thank you, Cynthia. Grateful you're here. Freya H., you're up next, followed by Susan S. H. Please share with us, Freya.
Good morning. This is Freya H., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Colorado. Thank you, everybody, for your service. I love reading this part, and the first time that I got a big book sponsor, which was like, you know, more than a decade after joining, you know, being in OA, she had me read this, you know, all the preface, the preface and the forewords, and I really didn't get it. I was like, why are we reading this? But I was willing to read it, and every time that I read it, I get something new. So it's important for me to learn about the history, because it's my history, you know, as someone who is making use of the 12-step program of recovery. This is really important for me to know where this stuff came from. And I think it's really important that they explain what happened. And this forward to the second edition, it's like about 15, 16 years after they released the big book, they had no idea what an amazing explosion it would have. it would have. So I imagine that they were so excited to share this story of like, look what has happened since we, you know, since we published this book. Not, you know, they didn't know. And so that they are sharing it with a lot of excitement and enthusiasm and faith in the fact that the program works. So it is a joy to read. And I, on a personal level, I definitely didn't understand the grave nature of my illness. I was really, I understood I couldn't eat certain foods and that was it. But when I started reading the big book, I learned, yeah, you have this physical allergy, but the real kicker is the mental obsession. That's actually the worst part of your disease. And it's actually way worse than you thought. So it took me a long time of, you know, the food not being the problem, but just feeling like I was hitting my head against a brick wall in terms of why is life not going my way? You know, I was still trying to run the show for me to really get the grave nature of my illness. And I feel like the bedevilments kind of sum it up of, you know, is it more important that you, you know, get what you want? Or is it more important that you surrender, basically, and then it wasn't about the food anymore. And so when I first came in, I wasn't able to accept all the tenets being offered me, but I was able to, I was willing to start somewhere. So that's encouraging to me to hear that that was the same for Bill. You know, he was willing to start and he was willing to grow along spiritual lines. And thank goodness, so was I. And so little by little, more and more has been revealed to me. And that I totally trust that's God's timing. You know, God has me where I'm supposed to be in recovery. And what a beautiful thing. And the last thing I'll say is that the list of the Oxford group tenets that that Bill could agree with. Thank you. Those are just universal spiritual principles. And it's so important for me to know that this is, you know, everywhere that I look in the spiritual spiritual literature or practices in the world, I'm going to find those same things. So this program doesn't separate me. It actually connects me to the world of the spirit. And that's not limited to the 12 steps. That's just how I got there. So thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Freya H. Susan S.H., you're up next, followed by Donna B.
Hi, thank you. This is Susan S.H., a grateful recover compulsive overeater in Ohio. What really jumped out at me, aside from the, in a nutshell, what the program consists of, what the steps are built on, the grave nature of this disease, and it says that Bill learned this from Dr. Silkworth. I learned this after my disease spent most of my life minimizing it. And I jumped on that bandwagon. I went to one meeting in my late 20s, I think. And they said, no flour, no sugar. And they were entirely too happy for my taste. And I didn't go back for about 30 years. And that being said, I was minimizing the disease. And my disease likes it that way. As long as I don't believe the seriousness, my powerlessness, and that there is help for me, then I'm stuck in disease. I am so grateful to have discovered the grave nature of this disease by coming to a point of desperation during the first year and a half that I was going back to meetings. I identified in, I couldn't not identify with the things people said about food. It was me, and I thought I was so alone in that, which is also where my disease tends to want to keep me. I'm not alone. I can trust in a higher power because I am powerless over this, and this disease will kill me. That's the grave nature. I'm so grateful that it's not truly about the food. It's about my insane need to control, my insane need to do it my way. And I'm grateful to have directions back to a higher power who will guide me in all love and kindness and has and does whenever I turn back to him. So, yeah, I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to have directions. I'm very grateful I can turn back to my higher power in every disturbance. Still human here, but still grateful. I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan H. Donna B., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. And I'm really focused on, though he could not accept all the tenets of the Axford group. And despite not being able to accept all the tenets of the Axford group, he still proceeded with all of the actions of the Axford groups. I looked up the word tenet, and I'll share that with you. It says, a principle, belief, or doctrine generally held to be true, especially one held in common by members of an organization, movement, or profession. And the part that jumps out of me is that it's something held in common. So here he's approached the Axford groups, and they have a set of principles and beliefs that are held in common by, let's say, nearly everybody in the group, by a large majority of people in the group. And Bill is not able to accept all of it, but he's been given direction on what he has to do, the actions he needs to take. And it reminds me that step 12 is a promise that having had a spiritual awakening as the result of working these steps. So I don't have to force myself. I don't have to act as if, which my brain translates into pretending to be something I'm not. I don't have to force myself to believe everything. But what I can do is take the actions that this group that shares these beliefs have also taken. And it's possible that in taking those actions, no matter how much prejudice I have, no matter how much resistance I have to the majority opinion of what I should be thinking, I can still take the actions, and the big book and the stories and the fellows that I've met along the way have been evidence that my belief does not matter nearly as much as my action. And by taking the action, I too can experience what they have experienced. And with time, I may come to accept all that they have come to accept as the basis, as the foundation of this program of recovery. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Deborah G., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Roz G., and then after that, we'll take a lineup. We're reading page XV, the preface to the second edition, the third paragraph that begins with the spark that was to flare into the first AA group and ending with believe in and dependence on God. Please share with us, Deborah G.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for your lead in the meeting today, and thank you all for making this meeting possible. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and so grateful to be on the meeting today. And thank you all so much for your shares. Wow, I just love this meeting. And I'm so grateful that conversation happened. I'm so grateful for Bill and the physician, that he talked to the Akron physician. I'm also so grateful for Dr. William D. Silkworth and the Axford group. I mean, everything that came into play with all of this so that it's here for us today. And I'm so grateful that this William D. Silkworth, you know, had, the broker had learned the grave nature from this doctor. Yeah, from the doctor, the broker had learned this grave nature. And so he was able to have that awakening experience, intuitive, whatever happened with him, that this turned that on so that he was able to carry that to others and then still others and then still others. And wow, that's how we're all here. You know, I love continuing to hear about that. And then like instructions of what to do, they're all in the book too. You know, the moral inventory, confession of personal defects, personality defects, you know, all of those things. And then in doing that, having that transformation and having that deeper relationship with power and a dependence on that power, dependence and belief on that power, which is God, and living my life this way. All I do is just live my life this way. And I like what was shared. Sometimes I don't want to do it, or my ego can fight it, wants to survive. And, you know, all that stuff happens. But then I've been blessed with grace, with the willingness to do it anyways. And it works me so that I can share that with another fellow so that they can talk about, you know, their unwillingness and their ego. And, you know, we're all in this. It's so beautiful. We're all in this together. We all think alike. We all have the experience and the experience, spiritual experience and spiritual awakening together. I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. Roz G., you are up next. And then we'll take another lineup on the third paragraph on the preface to the second edition, page XV. Please share with us, Roz.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Roz G. I hope that this is a third day share for me. I was trying to rack my brain, and so I hope I'm not sharing too soon. I am taking a mental health work day today, and I'm here at the park, and I have my little mini big book, and I'm reading the page with you. And I'd like to share that I'm deepening my recovery. I've let go of a couple of more foods, and I'm in that withdrawal period right now. And I don't agree with all of the religious tenets of the people that I've worked with, but I agree that I am a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered. I'm deepening my recovery. I'm willing to let go of other things that are not doing me any good. And because of these, because of the principle that we all need to admit our powerlessness, we all need to take a moral inventory, we all need to confess our personality defects, we all need to make restitution to those we've harmed, and we all need to be helpfulness to others. And number one for me, we all need, and I need, a dependence upon God. So I'm so grateful that I've gotten to know so many people that I would have never crossed paths with, weren't it for that I'm a compulsive overeater and that I am a member of this group. And like the beginning share said, I don't know a lot of the history, although I have recently purchased some books that are going to help me learn that, because I don't want to be dependent on other people's lessons on it. I want to learn it for myself, because it's so fascinating that I can place myself in the group of these spiritual giants that I'm following, so that I can understand where they were and follow in their footsteps, which I'm doing. You know, this book is open to all of us. So I just want to share that I'm grateful that I don't have to agree with everybody, but I do have to agree when it comes to these 12 steps. I do have to agree when it comes to dependence upon a higher power, because humans will disappoint me. Humans will not be perfect. Humans will, like I said, disappoint me. But God will, well, I may be some of the disappointed in some of the prayer answers that I don't get. But, you know, I know in the long run that God is always out, has my back, always has my best interest at heart. And when I accept that, thank you, I can move on. So, wacky share, but I'm grateful to be here this morning. Thank you.
Glad you are too, Raji. Okay, so we do value your experience, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on the third paragraph on the preface to the second edition, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Sherry KB.
Nadia B. Sherry KB.
Debbie.
Nadia
B.
B. Gotcha, Nadia.
And Deb E.
Deb E.
Kathleen W.
Jordan L. Kathleen W. And one more. Did I hear one more? Okay. Well, let's go with this and see where we land. Sherry KB, Nadia B., Deb E., Jordan L., and Kathleen W. Okay, Sherry KB, please share with us. Sherry KB, star 1 to unmute, please.
Hey, good morning. This is Sherry KB in Northern California, very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine and Team Friday. And everybody, welcome on the line. I really like this paragraph. I'm just going to jump into, first it says the spark. And, you know, it just takes a spark to get something really started. And it's amazing to me how Bill and Bob and the first 100 really got this program going and what it's mushroomed into and all the 12-step programs. And it just started with one person helping another person. And then, you know, hearing about the grave nature of compulsive overeating, you know, how serious it really is and how, you know, it seems, I remember hearing somebody say that this disease is like getting kicked to death by a bunny. That's what, you know, a compulsive overeater, what it happens to. It's like death on the layaway plan. And here they're talking about how, you know, Bill went to Dr. Bob, and, you know, thank God for the Oxford group. And it was a pretty religious program back in the 30s, but thank God Bob and Bill and the rest of them took these ideas and, you know, put them into practice, but used the steps, the 12 steps rather than the 6, and they broke them out rather so that all of us could do this, that, you know, no one was left out. And you know, you can see the traditions in here, the ideas of how important it is to be all-inclusive, never exclusive. And that's what has kept this group going, and to leave certain things out of the program. And so it could be here for all of us. And how long it's lasted, it's amazing to me. And how important, you know, our higher power is, and to lean on our higher power to look at, you know, where we're powerless, to see our character defects, turning our will and our life over to the care of a higher power, the language of our own heart, our understanding for each one of us, which is beautiful. And, you know, honestly, keeping religion out of it, because it's a spiritual program. And that's what has helped me a lot. And I am so grateful for it, because all throughout this entire book, the bottom line is God is everything or God isn't. What's our choice to be? Because I know I can't stay abstinent without my higher power's help. I never have been, I never will be able to, on self-reliance, because self-reliance fails me. And if you want to see the tenets in the book, you can find it, you can Google it, just Google Oxford Group tenets, but you can also see it on page 263 in the big book. it lists the tenets as well as, of course, here. And, you know, I'm just so grateful because this is an outline for my recovery for, you know.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. And I'll pass. Thank you, Elaine.
Oh, thank you very much, Sherry KB. Appreciate it. Nadia B., you're up next, followed by Deb E.
Good morning, everyone. Nadia B. here in Connecticut, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. And the word that caught my ear today is the spark. I really liked it. The previous speaker mentioned it. And for me, you know, I think living this life today, practicing the way that we are prescribed as, you know, as hopeless, compulsive overeaters brings me to a greater understanding what that spark was. And for me, it's nothing apart from the miracle. And I see God all over this program, all over this meeting. You know, Henrietta Sibling called Anne, and Dr. Bob said, you know, I'll give this guy 15 minutes. And, you know, they sat there for 5 hours discussing the grave nature of this illness. And that spark happened right there. And, you know, that was the birth of what I get to, you know, the torch was carried. I don't believe it's a spark today. You know, they are, Dr. Bob, to me, is, you know, and Bill, you know, the first two alcoholics who lived sober till the day they died on planet Earth using this specific method that I'm using today to live, you know, and it's not, you know, an if anymore. It's I know that this works. The only thing, you know, Dr. Bob was a very religious person, and he, you know, practiced. He attended meetings of Oxford Group. The only thing was missing for him. He didn't understand what Bill described to him, the grave nature of this disease. He brought the piece of physical allergy. And the grave nature of spiritual malady, and without physical allergy. I want to say that, you know, that alcoholics today, and we do understand that we have a double, you know, whammy here. We have a physical allergy and a mental obsession. And there's no alcoholic without one or another. We all have both. And, you know, for me, that's what saved my life today. That's what that understanding, that spark, that miracle, that discovery is so important. That's why I am alive today. And I'm so grateful for this two men that have, you know, started the spark in that room. And today it's a fire. And I'm grateful, you know, that fire is within me, the spirit of the 12th step. And yeah, with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Nadia B. Appreciate that. Okay, Deb E., you're up next, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Debbie. I'm in Montana, and I want first to thank everybody for their service this morning at this meeting and for being here. There must be a theme because the word spark is what I got to, and it's one of those things that once the spark has started, I love that sentence, the way he wrote it. It's interesting. He's a stockbroker, but in writing this book, he was also an artist and divinely inspired. The spark that was struck and was to flare. Quite frankly, the spark between the two of them, two hard surfaces coming together like two flints, create a spark, and they strike, and they are thrown off into this group of alcoholics who were the combustible material, and it flared up, and it's been flaring up ever since. The one thing I want to comment on that is that although it happened at that one time, I am human, and I don't remember. I have to keep coming back to meetings as often as I can and talk with fellows in the program so that I remember the spark so that I remember that this is here. And so I'm grateful for this program. And with that, I am going to pass.
Thank you so much. And Jordanelle, you're up next. And Kathleen W., and unless Jordan's short, share is rather short, we may not have time for you. But Jordan L., you are up next. Please share.
Oh, I'm so bad at keeping it short, but I will try. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. I was very struck this morning by the proof that one alcoholic could affect another is no non-alcoholic could. And that's been my experience. I was not happy about being a compulsive overeater. I did not want to be here and I did not want to participate in this in any way, shape or form. So it was a pretty painful experience accepting that in the beginning. And understanding that I was beyond human aid, you know, that I had like no other options but to be here and to do this with you all. And then this indication that strenuous work with another alcoholic, one alcoholic with another was vital to permanent recovery. I was even more disappointed about that in some ways, right? Because I'm selfish. I want my time is my time and I want to do what I want to do with it. You know what I mean? And so that experience of not just the knowledge that I'm a compulsive overeater, but the experience of that fact bringing me closer to other human beings, and being able to share things that I've never shared with non-alcoholics or non-compulsive overeaters, like that right there is a spiritual experience in itself. And I haven't really even gotten to the God part yet, you know? So anyway, thanks for letting me share today. That's all.
Thank you very much, Jordan L., and you will be our last share for today. So sorry, Kathleen W., that we did not have time for your share as well, but encourage you to keep coming and putting your name out there. So thank you, everybody who shared. We will transition the meeting now by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read a vision for you?
Hi, this is Robin P. May I be heard?
Yes, you sound great.
Oh, good. Thank you. Robin P., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.